Carrie, today I want to talk to you a little bit about anxiety. This is a disorder that a lot of people have been diagnosed with, and at the same point, a lot of people believe they have but have not been diagnosed with, and we want to talk about some of the underlying factors with it and kind of get down to the roots of it. Can you tell our listeners exactly what anxiety is and what it does to a person?
Anxiety is really just an emotion. It's a basic human emotion. The purpose of it is to help us stay safe, be diligent, focus, anticipate for events, both positive and negative events. Basically, when it becomes a problem is when the worry and the thoughts associated with it become uncontrollable. They're excessive, persistent, irrational, and really the person no longer has control over their thinking.
When we're talking about this, then, it's a normal emotion. Everybody goes through their swings where they feel nervous about something, whether that's a good something or a bad something. Everybody gets those feelings. The question here, then, is how does it become an issue where the person is no longer able to control it? I mean, what exactly goes on in our heads that makes that happen?
The actual causes of anxiety could be any number of things, and scientists don't really have a full, this is what causes it to become a disorder. There's things like genetics, it's brain chemistry, it could be trauma. So there's different things that kind of trigger that to happen. But basically, when it becomes a problem, the way that our brains are wired is when we practice a behavior or practice a way of thinking, it perpetuates that. So we have these intrusive thoughts that come in and we can't control them. And then we begin to ruminate on them. And we're teaching our brains that what we're thinking about is really scary, and so we have to continue to think about it. And as we do that, we're propagating that, and we're feeding into it, and then we're creating this fear loop that's really hard to back out of and identify the fact that, hey, what I'm thinking are just thoughts. I'm not really in danger. I'm not really in fear. But because anxiety is built to keep us safe, our brains think that it is real.
That's really interesting, because while you're speaking about this, the first thing that pops into my head is that old saying, face your fears. So to hear you say that this is literally just our brains telling us that something is scary rather than something actually being an imminent danger to us, is that a situation that when you are talking to people and working with people about getting over anxiety, is that one of the things that you guys discuss, is maybe facing those fears?
Absolutely. So that's really the key. A lot of people, when they talk about, well, how do I manage my anxiety? How do I make my anxiety go away? Well, A, you can't make it go away because it is an emotion. It would be like telling sadness to go away. But what we do when we treat anxiety is we rush towards it. So we do. We have to face those things that make us anxious, feel what that feeling is, and then notice that, okay, it goes down if I face it, which is really kind of counterintuitive than what you might think. The more you retreat from that anxiety, the more you steer away from it, the more power it gives that scary perception.
So you're basically helping people learn how to condition their mind.
Absolutely. So the top treatment for anxiety is called exposure and response prevention. So you expose yourself to whatever it is that you're afraid of. And then you notice what your body does, which is usually, you know, tense up, your heartbeat increases, you know, whatever those physical symptoms are. And then you kind of allow your body to get back down to normal. So that's when you're exposing yourself to it, and then allowing yourself not to react to that exposure is that response prevention.
Now, while we're on this topic of fear here, a lot of people, if they truly are more high strung with anxiety and they feel that more and they are struggling with it, you tend to see that almost alter the way they live their lives. There are things that some people literally can't do that for someone else is a completely normal habit, such as driving a car or being at home alone, which brings me to phobias. Those are actually a type of anxiety disorder. Is that correct?
That's correct. Phobia is the most common of the anxiety disorders. The overall population, if you look at the National Institute of Mental Health, says that it's about 18% of the U.S. population struggles at some point with anxiety disorders. Of those, the highest would be phobias, coming in at around 7%, with social anxiety coming in just below that. And phobias usually start somewhere around late childhood. Really, those with phobias, like I have a fear of spiders or elevators or heights, you have a higher propensity of developing other anxiety disorders, mood disorders, substance abuse disorders, if those go untreated.
They say that if you are someone who believes you're struggling with anxiety, that there are 12 signs to look for. Excessive worry, sleep problems, irrational fears, muscle tension, chronic indigestion, stage fright, self-consciousness, panic, flashbacks, perfectionism, compulsive behaviors, and self-doubt. But when we're looking at these 12 signs, a lot of those signs can also be linked to disorders such as OCD and manic depressive. How do you decipher or dig down and really figure out whether it is anxiety that they're dealing with or some other sort of disorder?
It's interesting, too, the comorbidity, which is the likelihood of having several different types of disorders, is really common. And with anxiety disorders, mood disorders, they go hand in hand. It's very, very common for somebody who suffers from anxiety to also suffer from depression. And when you're doing an intake or working with a client, you're getting a history of what they've been suffering with over time. And that's going to give you a better idea of, is this really depression as the main underlying issue, or is it anxiety? Often they're treated with the same sorts of both drugs and therapy. So if you don't know right away that, oh, wait, we're really working with a mood disorder versus anxiety, you're not causing any harm because they're treated very similarly. But ultimately, you're getting that history over time of what really the struggles are that the client's having. OCD just very recently was taken out of the anxiety disorder category just with the last release of the new DSM. But it is very close to anxiety. It's those intrusive thoughts and an inability to deal with what they are. So again, there's these specific criteria that we're led by through the DSM that guides us on, okay, this is really what it looks like this client is struggling with.
When we're talking about these different diagnoses and disorders and everything that you guys do to help people work through this, not just on a medication level, but through therapy, one of the things that I think a lot of people have been told, there's two sides of it. It's talking is the best thing for you, and then no, talking is not good for you. You need to find a professional to talk to. So when we're looking at people outside of the therapy room, family, friends, loved ones, things like that, when it comes to somebody who has these sort of disorders, what is the best thing for them to do to help them?
So the best thing to do with somebody who suffers from anxiety is to, A, validate their feeling. And by validate, it's not like, oh, of course you feel that way. No, it's more that I understand that this is making you feel anxious, or I understand that you're having this feeling. So validation of the person's emotion is very important. Then the second thing is to provide support without assuring the anxious person, because an anxious person is constantly seeking in an unhealthy way reassurance from others. Are you sure I'm going to be okay? Are you sure I'm going to be okay? Is this okay? And they're never going to be able to face that fear and get through that fear if there's that constant reassurance happening. Because when I reassure somebody that I'm telling them, oh, it could be dangerous, but it's not for you. So offering them validation that, yes, your feeling is valid, and then kind of giving them the assurance that, but you can get through this emotion, versus, yes, you're going to be okay. So there's a slight difference. It's subtle, but offering them that sort of support is much better than giving them the okay that, oh, you'll be fine.
How differently does it affect individuals in the different age groups?
The onset of anxiety generally happens around adolescence, which can be very difficult because that's the time when you're trying to figure out who you are anyway, and then to have these debilitating fears of even trying out those different personas, which is what's very typical of an adolescent to do. That can be very difficult for them to work through and lead to depression. For that age group, it's very important that if the adults in their life, or even if they think that they're having these kinds of issues, that they need to seek help pretty quickly, because moving past that is more difficult the older you get if you don't seek help. With older adults, they have a little bit better insight into their anxieties, but if they've been dealing with it for a long time, it's harder to move into that retraining of the brain. So I guess the earliest you can seek help, the earliest you notice that you're having any sort of difficulties, even if it's not a disorder yet, is the best time to go in and seek help. For generalized anxiety disorder, which is really just I worry about everything all the time, that's something that hits mostly later in life, more of like a middle-aged issue. That can look very, very different.
Is there anything else that you would like to note to our listeners?
If you notice that you're having a problem, and it doesn't need to be a full-on disorder, it doesn't hurt to go and seek help and get some strategies for learning how to manage through that a little better.